Hey everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. Slight recovery or at least a little bit of stabilization after a terrible Sunday and okay Monday in the crypto market. Appreciate everybody taking the time to join me on Sunday's Crypto Sad Hour. Today, I want to talk about a couple different things. So the first thing I want to talk about, the little South Korean coin rail hack that people in the media seem to be pointing to as the reason that $40 billion in crypto sold off. And I want to go on a little bit of a rant about that. Also want to touch base on Ethereum Classic getting added to Coinbase and the speculation around the next coin that will get added to Coinbase. And then also talk about my experience so far with two different masternodes that I've talked a little bit about doing research on masternodes and maybe acquiring a few different ones. Ended up doing that in the past few weeks, and I've had kind of two polar opposite experiences that will hopefully help you maybe learn a little bit if it's something you're interested in checking out at all, if it's something you're kind of thinking about when it comes down to the market in general. But first off, so just obviously over the weekend, Sunday, when we went live and had a video, talked about a lot of this stuff, the CoinRail hack happened, and I think it was about $15 million of ERC-20 tokens that were essentially taken from CoinRail. And a lot of people in the media, for whatever reason, immediately pointed to that as the reason that the crypto markets sold off. Now, if you're familiar, or if you simply went to CoinMarketCap, by volume, CoinRail, CoinBene, I believe, was like the 98th to 100th, depending upon when you looked at it, between like 98th and 100th largest exchange by volume in the world. Did not do a ton of volume whatsoever. And to specifically point to it as the reason that the entire crypto market sold off because investors everywhere were freaking out and panicking about a hack, and everybody was just so terrified that they sold off all their crypto, or 10% to 12% dropped the market. I think that's a ludicrous statement, to be pretty honest. There's an article here that attributes a lot of the downturn and says that it's not a bad article, but it's from Forbes, and this is kind of one of the examples, and I'll put below, but basically says the drop this weekend was because of the hacking, but the hackings of these exchanges will actually strengthen the crypto ecosystem in the long run, which I do think is a good point. The more this stuff happens, the better the security is going to get, the smarter people will be, and a number of other things. But there's a couple key differentiations I want to make. Number one, Bitcoin wasn't hacked. As is the title of this article, hacking Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple, or hacking will make Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple stronger. Number one, this hack has nothing to do with Bitcoin, really nothing to do with Ethereum, and nothing to do with Ripple either. It has nothing to do with any of them. It has to do with a centralized service, a centralized company holding your private keys on a server somewhere, not having the proper security precautions, and losing your money because you had that held on a centralized service. It has nothing to do with Bitcoin itself. It has nothing to do with ERC-20, or it has nothing to do with Ethereum. It has nothing to do with even the ERC-20 tokens that were hacked themselves. It has to do with you providing your control to somebody else and trusting them and entrusting them to be more secure than you can be on your own. Now, don't get me wrong, I've kept and I do keep a small amount of crypto on exchanges, typically at any given time if I need to make a quick trade or anything like that, but it's not a life-changing amount of money, and it's certainly not the majority of my crypto. I, as always, and continue to reiterate, have control of your private keys, use a ledger, use a treasure, use a keep key, whatever. I don't care. Use some type of hardware wallet, use a paper wallet, whatever it might be, but get that stuff in cold storage. Get the majority of your crypto in cold storage off exchanges, especially exchanges that are not in like the top 10. Granted, top 10 exchanges have been hacked before as well, but if I'm going to keep any crypto on an exchange, it's sure as hell not going to be the 98th largest exchange in the world. It might be a Coinbase, GDAX, Bittrex, Binance type of exchange that, while I don't fully trust them, I trust them more than CoinRail or something else like that, or Cryptopia. I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever you want to point to. But I think so. Two different points to this. Number one, the media and people in general always try to point a specific, anytime the market drops, especially when it drops a lot like that 10 10-12% that the entire crypto market dropped on Sunday, went down $40+ billion. Everybody wants to point to a specific reason. Sometimes there is not a specific reason. Sometimes it's a culmination of reasons. And it sure as heck isn't, it sure as heck isn't a $2 million or $14 million, whatever, $10 million hack from a small exchange in Korea. It could be, like some people say, it could be price manipulation. It could just be over-leveraged traders. It could be a variety of things. It could just be a greater market sell-off, a loss of confidence, retail speculators exiting the market. Is a combination of things. There's usually not one specific thing that you can point to. And then number two from this little just kind of rant here is that always, always, always do your best to control your private keys wherever you can do that. The less you have to trust a third party, the better. Only keep a small amount, if any, cryptocurrency on exchanges. Try to use decentralized trading platforms, decentralized exchanges as much as possible. If you'd like to do that as well, I think that's always a good kind of thought process there as well. Now, popping over here to CoinDesk, as you can see, Ethereum Classic was listed on Coinbase ETC. And I do think it's there were a lot of people that kind of freaked out. The Twitter the tweet from CoinDesk itself was actually pretty hilarious because there were some people that were joking. Shout out to my man Prince from Crypto Street Podcast, asking when they were going to add SEN consensus, when they were going to add SEN, because it's not going to happen. We know that. It's a joke. But there were a lot of people that were like, why aren't you adding Ripple? You're dead to me until you add Ripple, like all these different cryptocurrencies. But Ripple is the big one that a lot of people want to get added to Coinbase. And Ethereum Classic was the one that was the next cryptocurrency to get added to Coinbase. And a lot of people kind of gave negative feedback on it. The one thing that I will say is, or a couple different things I will say is, number one, credit to Coinbase on this, and also previously credit to Gemini and to Zcash, because both times for these announcements where Zcash got added to Gemini and ETC got added to Coinbase, you don't see any evidence of any type of insider trading pump or anything like that. Coinbase got a ton of backlash back when they added Bitcoin Cash because there was a pretty clear run-up into the Coinbase listing of people. You could tell in the charts that people were accumulating Bitcoin Cash prior to Coinbase announcing that they were going to list it. Whether that was internal employees or one internal employee or a couple internal employees that had loose lips and told their friends and their friends told other people, whatever it might have been, they seem to have taken that kind of seriously. They also, I believe, are in the middle of a class action lawsuit or had a class action lawsuit filed against them because of that. So credit to Coinbase on this, at the very least, for keeping things tightly sealed when it comes down to Ethereum Classic getting listed here. As far as ETC as a whole, I'm not a massive ETC guy. I think that a lot of the development brain power still goes to Ethereum. But I do think one point on this is it does go to show, for the most part, why speculation of what's added next to Coinbase is usually pointless. There weren't that many people talking about ETC getting added to Coinbase. People are talking about ZRX or 0X getting added to Coinbase, or Basic Attention Token, BAT, getting added to Coinbase. Not many people are talking about Ethereum Classic getting added to Coinbase. In retrospect, it's fairly obvious. They already had the infrastructure from the DAO fork. They already had Ethereum and ETC. Like, they had that infrastructure already back from 2016. And you could probably, if Ethereum is technically not a security, you could probably make a good argument that Ethereum Classic is not a security, where some of the utility tokens may be, and it's maybe a more traditional or a better addition to Coinbase, in their opinion, or a safer addition to Coinbase. So while I'm not personally super excited about it, I do think it is a positive to see Coinbase adding additional assets to their platform, and also, again, positive that you didn't see a massive run-up or spike or any subtle spike into the announcement, as you did, credit again to Gemini and Zcash, where the announcement came out and then you see the massive run-up. You see this massive candle here with $1.1 million of volume on the hour for this is at least on the Binance charts, and it popped up. Let's see how much it was at its peak. It popped up about 30%. It's settled now down at about 17% or so. So, a nice move up, but nothing I'm chasing at this point in time at all. Now, One thing that I do want to talk about, so I talked about, it was probably maybe two or so weeks ago, where I talked about, hey, I'm interested in these in masternodes because I think that there is that I've seen the market for the most part either slowly bleed out or simply move sideways. And I think a lot of people are struggling trading wise to generate any type of income or profit. And they're going to look if, number one, there's going to be a lot of people. I think, you know, we're still in the midst of kind of a retail driven capitulation out of the market. But I do think that the people that, you know, there are a lot of speculators that are leaving the market because they're not seeing profit. However, I also do think that there are, you know, some retail speculators, perhaps you, that's watching right now and saying, hey, I'm not making crap on buying and trading some of these assets or shorting or whatever. I'm just not doing well. What else can I do in this crypto market? Where else can I redeploy my capital to, you know, get some type of ROI? And I've kind of thought, hey, masternodes might be one of those things. So I kind of went through the process of researching masternodes like I talked about. I did masternodes online. There was another one, another link that I used there as well. And kind of my thought process was like, hey, I wanted to like start slow, figure out what the hell is going on, because I really haven't done too. I've mined for, you know, 4 years ago. I've mined crypto, but that is not the same thing at all of a masternode. It's a completely different industry or a completely different kind of subset of crypto, and I think maybe even a more dangerous subset of crypto. I think there's a lot of risk associated with masternodes, which is also one of the reasons why when I kind of acquired my first node, first masternode, I didn't want to, I told you guys about it, but I also didn't want to say which one it was, because I did not want to tell anybody what it was, have it be a total piece of crap, and then get a lot of negative feedback or anything like that. Wanted to just make sure that things may or may not be okay. So I'll give you kind of my background here as well. So essentially what I did was I did some research on masternodes online. I kind of tried to find a masternode that I thought was a decent price point as far as like the minimum worth of the masternode or how much it costs to buy that masternode. Something that seemed like it had a large ROI, but not like, holy crap, absolutely outrageous, you're making a ton of money. And then that also had a decent amount of nodes that were currently in existence and was fairly easy to set up. So upon a bunch of research, I looked at a number of them. I was preferring not to spend like 40, 50 grand on a masternode because I just felt like that was excessive. And for the first one that I wanted to try out, it didn't seem like the best move. So essentially what I did was ended up going with a masternode called Gincoin, G-I-N. Acquired it a while, like, shortly after the video that I made, and it was definitely cheaper. The ROI on an annual basis, it's like close to 200%. It's going down. There's like 1200 nodes or so. It's basically a masternode for starting other masternode coins or for hosting other masternodes. And so far the experience with that has actually been pretty good. So much so that I acquired one masternode and looked to acquire one more, a few more. I don't really feel like getting into it too much, but acquired multiple Gin masternodes because I started small. I kind of liked what I saw so far. And then from there, I figured, hey, you know what? I can deploy a little bit more capital into this. And then flipping that on its head, so I played around with the Gin masternode, and there was another one called Apollon. So I'll pop over to that one. It might be down here somewhere. Let's see if I can pull it up. So basically, this one I acquired because it was much cheaper to start up at the time. A Gin masternode, this is Apollon coin. It's XAP is the ticker symbol. But at the time, a Gin masternode cost like $6,000 to acquire. Cost like $6,000 to acquire on the for Apollon, it was at that point in time, it was like $2,000, maybe close to $3,000, about $2,500 to acquire. And it looked like it was a, you know, smaller entry, but it was seemed decent. And I went to set it up with the Gin masternode platform. That's kind of how I went to set it up. And there were a ton of issues with it. like ton of issues. I actually haven't gotten one staking reward or one masternode reward yet from Apollon. And then it turns out they had a bunch of issues that went on with their actual blockchain, where they're switching their blockchain from, I forget what they're using right now, to some fork of PIVX. And it's just been a total crap show, total mess. And it goes to show that, like, it's also kind of help to justify me to for myself personally, like why I didn't say the exact masternodes that I was looking at, because I think some of these are like super risky and dangerous. And like Apollon itself, this was before, I think, like a pretty decent sized monthly income you were looking at, or like a daily monthly income, and now it's gone down and it's just kind of, I don't know, they're redoing it, they're doing a coin swap, there's a bunch of different things, but the experience with Apollon Coin XAP has been the exact opposite of Gincoin, where Gincoin has been basically, you know, very consistent as far as like daily rewards. The platform has been for the most part pretty stable, pretty easy to use. Haven't had any issues running the wallet, anything like that with a VPS, no issues whatsoever. Apollon, the exact opposite. And it's been an interesting experience so far. And my thought process is on masternodes right now, if you are interested in them, I would do a lot of research before you acquire any of them. I would highly recommend you do your research. One thing I did that was pretty helpful was diving into the Discord of some of these masternodes, or some of these like companies, whatever you want to call them. I looked at the Apollon Discord. I looked at the Gincoin Discord. I looked at a bunch of different ones, and I tried to just get a feel for what like the community feedback was, how the support team, if there's any issues with anything, how that turned out, or how quick they were to respond. I tried to do a lot of that and get a good feel for it. Also, what I would say is if you're going to start small. I think that they seem to me like I'm still pretty nervous about any masternode. I feel like they can pretty easily get, whether it's 51% attacked or just have bad developers behind them, or people with bad intentions. I'm still pretty nervous about having any level of money in these masternodes, but I feel like risk reward right now, it's still pretty decent, so I'm okay with it, and you can kind of exit your money out at any point in time. However, like I saw what happened with the whole BitConnect thing, where it's like, yeah, you can pretty much exit your money out at any point in time for a lot of these guys, and they got cashed out, but if there's no demand to buy and there's only demand to sell, you're dropping 80% value, 85% value in a day, and I could imagine that happening with some of these masternodes, so I'm extremely wary. I'm trying to be extremely careful, trying to keep an eye on these announcements in the Discord groups and things like that, because I think these are can be kind of shady. So I would say that. Also, just one quick note too, like I said, you know, the reason I didn't announce that I acquired any of these masternodes when I did was because I am doing it really for the first time. I'm nervous about doing it, and kind of just didn't want to lead anybody astray, especially in the case of basically what happened with Apollon, or, you know, Apollon Coin XAP Zap. That hasn't turned out well for me. It's basically cut in half for the most part valuation-wise, and I've gotten zero masternode rewards. On the other hand, Gincoin, which I have a decent amount more of, has essentially doubled, and I've gotten consistent rewards on a daily basis. So it's been two opposite experiences for me, but I started small, and it's been an interesting experiment. I'm going to continue to probably play around with it. So just when it comes to just the overall breakdown too, I'll have to update my portfolio sooner rather than later. I don't have time to do that right now. But the one thing I would say too is I am not like too heavily weighted in this stuff. I think that it is very risky, very experimental, more risky than almost the majority of other assets of crypto assets. But this is just something I'm experimenting with and playing around with, to see kind of how it ends up turning out. And like I said, it's something where I'm looking at like 5% of my 5 to 10% of my crypto assets in masternodes, not 50% or 60 or 75 or 80 or 90. Even if it seems very profitable right now and seems like the rewards are great, I don't want to trick myself into saying, oh wow, these rewards are so great right now, I'm going to go all in on this stuff, and then that's when the market turns on you, and that's when you get your face ripped off and some critical bug happens or something like that. or the devs were scamming or whatever it might be. I don't want that to happen. So I am being extremely, extremely cautious about this. But for now, it's been an interesting experiment for me to kind of play around with. If you have any specific experience with it, would love to hear about it in the YouTube comments below. If you're listening on the podcast, would love to hear your thought process. If you've been playing around at all with Masternodes or experimenting, have you had good experiences with them? Have you had a similar experience like with the Pollen coin where it hasn't turned out very well for me? Would love to hear your thought process on that. If you enjoyed this video today, hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button, gets this out to as many people as possible. And if you are listening on the podcast right now, would love for you to leave a rating and a review. Really helps to get the podcast out to as many people as possible. Thank you guys so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Hope you have a good one. Take it easy. Peace.